Good morning to each of you. It's good to be here. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I would have enjoyed if Jason would have continued his message on worship. Something that had been on my mind lately, and actually was thinking a little bit along maybe preaching on that this morning, but that didn't come together. But just the thought of what motivates my worship. Why do we come here and sit together as Christian people to worship? Why? What is the purpose? And then I was reading this week, and worship is a natural response to what God has done for you. If you're born again, God has saved you, you're going to worship. Because it was alluded sometime this morning that we are either worshiping God or we're worshiping the devil. So let's worship in spirit and truth today. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua 24. I know we read this not long ago in a message, but I want to read it again. The title of the message this morning is Commitment. Joshua chapter 24. And verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's 3 points we want to look at this morning on commitment. What is our first and our greatest commitment? Can somebody tell me? As Christian people, what is our first and what is our greatest commitment or commitment to?
God.
All right, what should be the second? I may be wrong here, but I'm thinking as we think about the church, as we think about what comes next in the range or the level of commitment.
Jesus said that, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself.
Okay, that's good, that's probably right. I had something else in mind, and I may be wrong, but I had marriage, because marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Now, I'm not trying to organize these things in a way that is unbiblical. That's the 3 points I'm talking about. Marriage is the second one. What would be the third? Because obviously marriage don't include everyone.
Church.
Thank you. All right. Do you consider yourself, or would you classify yourself this morning, a person that is committed? What does it mean to be committed? The definition, if you go by the dictionary, is the act or an instance of committing, putting in charge, keeping, or trust, a promise or agreement to do something, being bound emotionally or intellectually to a course of action or to another person or persons, the trait of sincerity and focused purpose. I'm just reading definitions. The state of being pledged or engaged. And then we have some synonyms, and that's allegiance, attachment, constancy, dedication, devotedness, devotion, faith, faithfulness, loyalty, and steadfastness. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about commitment. The thing that become increasingly clear to me as I study this is commitment is a choice. Is that correct? Commitment is a choice. Am I a committed person? Are you? And these three commitments that we make, I have down as three of the most important ones. If there's more, or if there's one that should be higher, please come and tell me after church. We're going to talk about commitment to God. We're going to talk about commitment, if I can find it here, in our marriage, and commitment in church life. Okay, I've got a lot of scripture to read, so bear with me. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 16, in verse number 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. It would be very nice to have a lot of time to discuss these verses at length, but we're going to just have to run through them. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." As we think about the definition of commitment on a personal level, it says here, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." We have the groundwork of like a foundation for allowing our commitments to be what they would be. We're talking about commitment to God. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." All right, let's turn now back a couple chapters to Proverbs 3. Verse many of us know by memory. Starting in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." We have a choice and we have a result. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We're talking about commitment to an holy God. Now back in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind." We're talking about commitment. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to do what? To please God." Okay? "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him." We're talking about choice in our commitment. Okay, James 4 verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Commitment. Psalms 25, 4, "Show me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy path." So what does it mean personally to you to be committed to God? What does it look like? How does it play out in shoe leather as you go through your life? Turn now back in the Old Testament to Job. And we're going to read, I don't know if we've got time to read much of this, but Job chapter 1. I'd like to pay close attention to this story, to this life, to this testimony about a man that was committed to God. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz," in verse number 1, "whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Do you see commitment flowing out of that verse? "And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters." And it talks about what all he had. It says his substance was great. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. And I don't know how to compare him to someone that you know personally, but he was, let's just say he was the Bill Gates of financial stability, okay? That's who he was. And we know the story, how Satan come to him in verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And I want to stop there for a second. And dear friends, this morning, this is why we need to be committed to God. Because the devil is walking around seeking whom he may devour, we read in the New Testament. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Verse 7, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught. If we want to put that in our sermon this morning, is Job committed? We know how the story goes. He lost everything. Lost his possessions. Went from a millionaire to being on welfare. He lost everything. It says in verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. An example of commitment. Chapter 2 we have, starting again in verse number 1, and there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And he said, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro in the earth." We know the continuation, and the devil is still doing that today. He is walking around trying to find someone to prey on. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." Commitment. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." We know the story. It says that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote him with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He took a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then his wife said unto him, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." We see commitment flow right out of this verse here. In verse 10 it says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Commitment. Doth Job fear God for naught? This was Satan's question. And I believe Satan is still asking this question. And I don't know how I would hold up to this temptation or this trial. I don't know where I would come out. But I would trust that I would be committed. Often our test of commitment to Almighty God come when something we hold dear is taken from us. When hopes and dreams and needs and wants are dashed to the concrete. Satan says, "Put forth thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." That is a test of commitment. Job was not a superhuman. Job was a man just like you and I are. He had feelings. He had emotions. He had fear. He had pride. He had self-esteem. He was no different than anyone else. He had the same struggles. He lost it all. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. His family, his money, everything was gone. Yet he maintained his commitment to God through it all. Every part of this story, Job had to make a choice. A choice of commitment. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yesterday was July 22nd. And that was the 7,000th night that two pastors in Africa spent in prison because they are Christians. That is 1,000 weeks of prison. The first question that prisoners that are arrested for their faith are asked is, "Will you deny Christ?" Dear people, this morning, are you committed? Will you deny Christ? We may not face prison for our faith. We may not face what Job did. But I'm telling you this morning, dear friends, there's many, many, many times that we're going to be faced with a choice of whether or not we will deny Christ. Doth Job fear God for naught? I would encourage you to take your pencil out or make a note and write it down. Make it personal. Am I committed? Doth Dwight fear God for naught? Am I committed? Will I ever deny Christ? The second one is commitment in our marriage. And our commitment to God, I believe, this morning is foundational to our commitment in our marriages. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. If you're not married here this morning, bear with us. Maybe one day you will, maybe one day you won't. That's in the Lord's hands. Genesis 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Without commitment, we will not have marriages that are a picture of Christ and the church. Our commitment to each other in our marriages must be so strong that there's not even a hint of unfaithfulness that will come out of our lives. Guard your marriages with everything you have. Be committed. Come what may, stick it out, work it out. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10. Let's just turn back there. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 and verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Husbands and wives, be committed to love each other. Be committed to have a marriage that is a picture of Christ in the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, let's start in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, listen up here. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives and as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Is my marriage commitment this morning a picture of Christ in the church? You read it in the Bible. It's not my words. What is flowing out of my home? What is flowing out of your home into the community? What do people see? A committed husband and wife team is of great value in the world we live in. It's of great value in the church we live in. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this morning, this is something I'm very, very passionate about, because I believe that in our Anabaptist churches, there's times upon times where there is marriages that are not what they should be. And I believe it's because of lack of commitment. It's a lack of commitment to God, number one. That is at the heart of it. If our commitment to God is what it should be, our marriages will be what they should be. And that is Bible. What is flowing out of my home and into the community? What do people see? What do my children see? What are you as a family, as a couple doing in your church? Are you committed, team? And it's only through a surrender to Christ. Notice what Christ has done for the church. Think about it. Think about the sacrifice in the garden. Think about the suffering on the tree. And you know, my mind goes, Jesus was a man, yet he was God. My mind goes to Jesus thinking through time and the grief that laid on his shoulders because of the marriages that were going to fall apart, crumble and break. What is flowing out of my home and into the community? What do people see? Am I a committed husband? Am I a committed wife? Number three, commitment in church life. Hebrews chapter 10. How committed are you to your church? What does your church mean to you? When you wake up on Sunday morning, or you come home from work on Wednesday night, or any service, any time we're together, what is on your mind? What is important? What are you preparing your heart for? Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Acts 10:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." Notice this last, turn with me, I'm sorry. Acts 20 and 28. I got carried away here. Acts chapter 20 in verse 28. Commitment in church life. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," notice this, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, I know we're talking about the church, and it's the greater church, the church that you join upon conversion. But this morning, as we think about a visible church that we are blessed to be a part of, God has purchased it with his blood. How does that ring? How does that factor in to my commitment? Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 10. "Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Friends, this morning, this will not happen without commitment. If we don't choose to commit, first of all to God, then to each other, we will not be a church that is perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Doesn't mean we're all going to have the same opinions. Doesn't mean we're all going to even maybe have the same preferences. I don't like to say convictions, because convictions, I believe, are something we're willing to die for. And I don't think that we need to. I think we need to be careful with what we say on convictions. But anyways, we can have a different thought process about things, or application maybe. But if we are going to be committed, first of all to God, we're going to be committed in church life. You know, we need that this morning. Bridges have concrete barriers on the side so we don't run off. Roads have white lines and yellow lines. There's speed limits. There's caution signs. The point I'm trying to make is we need the church. We need commitment to the church. It may take you to help me understand a need or a danger in my life. It's not just my way. It's not just your way. If we can't lay down our ideas and our preferences and see other perspectives, we're not committed. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are the church this morning. Are we committed? I personally can say and testify that being a part of the church has been a wonderful experience for me. Maybe not everyone can, but I can. And we find that in Acts chapter 2. We find a group of people here who I believe were committed. We'll start in Acts 2 and verse 42. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice these words here. We have steadfast. We have breaking of bread. We have believing. We have continuing daily with one accord. We have gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. Does this look like a wonderful experience to you of church life? And it says down here at the last, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a blessing to think about the church growing, these young people on the front bench becoming Christians and going through instruction class and joining the church. What a blessing. The Lord added daily to the church. Romans chapter 12 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And we could preach probably a series of sermons on this, these few verses here. It says, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone member one of another. I see that as a committed church member, a committed church builder, a choice we all need to make. Let's go back to Joshua. I want to read it one more time. Joshua 24. And verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As you think about your commitment in your life personally this morning, is it real in my relationship to God? Is it real in my marriage? Is it real in my church life? Commitment, a choice we all need to make. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship, as Brother Jason talked about in the beginning. The privilege of coming to you and opening our song books and singing praises to your holy name. We think about the fact of coming in the presence of a God that loved us even while we were yet sinners. Lord, we want to thank you for each one that is in this building. Lord, you know where each heart and each life is. You know the level of commitment that I personally have. You know me so well. Lord, I pray for renewed courage and strength to be more committed. Lord, we studied from your word this morning that at the heart of everything springs out of our commitment to you. Lord, we want to draw nigh to you because you've promised that you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, we pray for each little child here this morning, each baby, each infant. We thank you for the blessings of life and of health, especially for baby Kate. We pray for the older children as they watch mom and dad, watch older brothers and sisters. May you bless them in their life as they learn to know who you are by how their parents act, how their brothers and sisters act. Lord, we pray for our youth this morning. You know, at the threshold of life where they have many, many choices to make, bless them with a commitment to love you with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their life. Lord, we pray for parents this morning the vast responsibility of teaching a generation of people who will grow up to lead and guide the church, grow up to make choices, grow up to draw lines and applications. May you bless them with wisdom. Bless them with a commitment to stay close to your word and close to you. Help them to know you personally. Lord, I bless each marriage that's here this morning. Lord, the devil would love for us to be a disaster and a failure. Lord, we pray that you would bless each marriage in a real way. Lord, I pray that you would reconcile the marriages that are apart right now with Perry and Peter. Lord, you know that situation well. And may you be with them and guide them. Give them the courage and the commitment to do what you've asked to do in your word. Lord, we pray for grandmas and grandpas here this morning. May you bless them. Where you find them, may you give them courage and strength to lead a life of example and help them to be faithful to the end. And Lord, I bring our church to you this morning, our church family. Help us, Lord, to be committed. Lord, you know the devil doesn't want us to be together. The devil doesn't want us to be on the same page. But may we again be just encouraged to draw together in one accord, to get together and talk about life and about applications and about the things that we agree or disagree on. Help us to be a shining light that flows out into this community and into the world at large. Help us, Lord, to be a people that don't look inward but look outward, because that's what you have called us to do. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.